Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Tonight, bullying and how LGBT people and people with developmental disabilities are working together against it. Bullying has gotten a lot of attention in the LGBT community in recent years, especially after the death of Rutgers University freshman Tyler Clemente, who took his own life in 2010 after his dorm mate posted a video he'd secretly taken of Tyler having sex with another man. Some studies indicate as many as 9 in 10 LGBT youth report being bullied. But bullies have many other targets. The ARC San Francisco, a learning center for adults with developmental disabilities, has teamed up with LGBT leaders on an anti-bullying campaign. Bullying has affected both groups greatly, and of course there are overlaps. There are LGBT people with disabilities and people with autism or Down syndrome, for example, who are gay, lesbian, bi, or transgender and are targeted for more than one reason. And there are commonalities in who bullies and what motivates some people to pick on others for whatever their differences may be. ARC San Francisco, using methods learned in part from the San Francisco LGBT Center and other organizations, is teaching its clients to understand and overcome bullying and to become advocates for themselves and others, and is on a campaign to raise $30,000 to fund the next class of ARC allies. We'll talk about what those are a little bit later. Here in our studio to fill us in are some ARC San Francisco representatives, including CEO Glenn Motola, who happens to be gay and has a 14-year-old daughter with developmental disabilities. He's a doctor of psychology and the former executive director of the Oak Hill School in Marin, a therapeutic educational community for children and young adults living with autism spectrum disorders. Welcome, Glenn.
Nice to be here.
Also with us is Lance Scott, a socialization program director at the ARC and an instructor for the ARC Allies anti-bullying program. He has worked with people with developmental disabilities for over 15 years in employment, community access, education, and socialization programs, and his anti-bullying classes are part of a broader lifelong learning curriculum at the ARC. Welcome, Lance.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Gabby Castro, an ARC ally. She's a young self-advocate, a client of the ARC, and a student at San Francisco City College. Gabby participated in the ARC's anti-bullying classes in 2013, then moved on to further training as an ARC ally. She's a role model and leader to her peers at the ARC and an active spokesperson for disability rights. Welcome, Gabby.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks to all of you for being here. So first, I just want a little brief bit of background, Glenn. What is the ARC? And what does the ARC do?
So the ARC San Francisco is the city's largest nonprofit provider of supports and services to individuals with developmental disabilities. We're really a lifelong learning center for those age 22 and up. And we serve individuals who have an autism spectrum diagnosis, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, other types of developmental disabilities. We serve some folks in Marin and also San Mateo counties. And our services are, we have a breadth of services. We provide support for continuing education, career and development, employment support programs, independent living support services, and a very large health advocacy and recreation program.
That sounds like a lot.
It is a lot.
How many clients do you serve in a year or at one time? I guess that's the way to put it.
We serve over 700, and there's quite a few more who would like to be part of it.
Okay. Now, I know that there's an ARC of the East Bay as well, so it's a national organization that has chapters smaller organizations of some sort.
It is. It's a each community has its own chapter or can have their own chapter, but it is a loose federation of affiliated agencies across the country.
Great, thanks. So what prompted the ARC San Francisco to team up with LGBT activists against bullying, and you know, how did this partnership come about?
You know, about 5 years ago, well, first, you know, sometimes it comes as news to people that we can have individuals with developmental disabilities who also are members of the LGBT community. Sometimes that's news. But we also began to notice another common thread that many of our clients at the ARC were really experiencing bullying and having difficulty out in the community. And, you know, as a gay man, I mean, it's something that, you know, we've all experienced, and that there's, a real common struggle there. And so we decided we needed to do something about it. And we reached out to the LGBT Center and got hold of their anti-bullying curriculum. And then our educational professionals really adapted it for the needs, the special needs of our clients at the ARC.
And why is this personally important to you? You have a tell us a little bit about your daughter.
Yeah, my partner and I adopted. My daughter is 14 years old, and we adopted my daughter Sasha when she was 9. And we knew that she had special needs. We had no idea what, but she has a neurogenetic condition. She, obviously has developmental disability as part of that. And so, the safety and the well-being of any parent thinks about that of their child. And my partner and I think about that, about our kid all the time, because she's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I worry about her. So, I worry about these guys. And I look over here at Gabby and I, see her thriving in San Francisco. And I want her to be safe and I want her to feel at home. And just like we want our own kids, I want all the clients of the ARC to feel safe and comfortable in San Francisco. So this program means a lot to me, and having our clients, as many as they can, experience it and develop the skills to be safe and educate others is really important.
So, Gabby, let me bring this into this. What kinds of teasing or bullying did you face when you were younger, or do you still experience now?
Well, I experienced name-calling, people teasing me about being in a wheelchair.
And how has that, has that changed over the years? I was curious with you, Glenn. Your daughter's 14. Is she kind of at the point where she's going to be at the worst of it, or has the worst of it passed? Kids can be cruel, especially. Adults can be cruel, too, for that matter. Is there a certain age for you, Gabby? Was there a certain age when it was worse or better?
Well, I noticed it more when I was in my freshman year
of high school. Mm-hmm. What kind of things were happening then?
People were teasing me about being in a wheelchair, calling me names, and just bringing me down, making me feel like I was the worst person on earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the middle school years and the high school years can be the toughest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Especially for some kids that have outward appearances of being more disabled, it can be even more troubling.
So a wheelchair, I assume, is a first giveaway. So that's the first thing somebody sees about you. Is that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I think it's also something that our adults are still facing very much, just as much as some of us did in junior high school. In fact, the impetus of this program very much came out when a client who's African-American man with Down syndrome came out as a gay man and told us about it. And while he had a real sense of pride and excitement, and we were supportive of him, he was also expressing that he was getting even more teased than before. He was now dealing with being called faggot, and as well as retarded and the N-word. So
he had a triple whammy against
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Lance, tell us about the classes that you lead. Do you want to start somewhere else?
I just got lost in my notes. But the classes are designed to help clients understand what bullying is, so the imbalance of power. They're also designed to help clients identify who the players are, so the target, the follower, so people who might be egging on the bully, people who are just bystanders who may not know what to do, and then...
So that's interesting. So there's sort of like roles. There's sort mm-hmm. of like characters that are sort of standard in any bullying scene. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about that. You said the follower, the target, the follower, the instigator, I guess.
So the target is the one who's bullied. The bully is obviously the bully. The follower are the people who might just laugh or smile, you know, to make it okay for the bully to continue to bully.
Right.
Okay. Bystanders are people who maybe aren't sure what to do or don't feel safe intervening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ally, of course, is somebody who steps in and says, you know, hey, what are you doing? Why are you saying that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or may go get help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds very standard to the kind of name-calling that, you know, gay and lesbian and transgender kids face or racial things that are being hurled. People will stand by and not do anything mm-hmm. or kind of be uncomfortable maybe, or maybe they laugh too.
Exactly.
So it's all very similar.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think one of the most powerful things that I've seen since I've taught the class is how clients, when they're in a room of 12 other people and we start sharing our stories and understanding what bullying is and how it operates, clients start to see, you know, that it's something that happened outside of them. It doesn't necessarily describe who they are or, you know, isn't about them being defective or
right.
wrong. And in fact, later in the course, we focus on differences and embracing differences and overcoming diversity and how these things can make us ultimately stronger.
Right. That's great. I'm curious to know, you know, what are the things that are the common things that motivate bullies, no matter who it is they are making as their targets?
Well, it's a perceived imbalance of power, you know, so the bully assumes that for whatever reason they're more popular or they're taller or they think they're smarter or their disability is less than, that they have a right to make this very bad decision. It might be that they're dealing with their own anger issues. You know, maybe they're having trouble at home. Maybe they're feeling disempowered, so it's their way of raising their own self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, that, you know, a lot of us have played both roles. And so we really focus on the fact that the bully isn't a bad person, but is somebody who's making some really bad choices. And
okay.
And we definitely emphasize having compassion for the bully.
Okay. So in other words, you're saying, like, we may have realized that, oh, we've had some situations in our past where we've acted like that
mm-hmm.
without maybe being conscious of it at the time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests tonight are Dr. Glenn Mottola, CEO of the ARC San Francisco, a learning center for adults with developmentally disabilities in San Francisco, Marin, and San Mateo counties. Lance Scott, who we just heard from, an instructor of anti-bullying and other classes at the ARC, and Gabby Castro, a client of the ARC and an ARC ally peer leader. You can learn more on the ARC's website, thearcsf.org. Gabby, so I want to ask you, but well, anybody can answer this, but what is an ARC ally? What does that mean?
An ARC ally is a person who leads to stop bullying, and that's what we are helping others learn at the ARC.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this is so important, Eric, is because the individuals that we're serving really are a part of San Francisco. They live as a part of San Francisco. They work as a part of San Francisco. I mean, we have over 300 clients working, and so they're commuting to their job, and they're constantly out on the streets and taking mass transit, and so they're out there, and they are perceived as different, and that is another target for them, right? Just as, you know, those of us in the LGBT community have been targeted for being different. I mean, these guys
sure.
get targeted for looking different or acting different or behaving differently, and so it can make them a target for this. And it's so important that these guys learn the skills to be able to help each other and then also help themselves.
I spoke to Meredith, your communications director, who's been very helpful in setting this all up last week. And she mentioned, Gabby, that you'd had some incident on the bus recently. I think it was the bus. There were some mention of a transit-oriented incident of some sort. Is that something you can share with us?
Yes. I was actually at a bus stop waiting for a friend, and this random guy out of nowhere comes up to me, and he starts saying, oh, you're nothing. You are people like you are just a waste of time, and you guys are nothing because you guys are in wheelchairs. And to me personally, that really made me feel bad. But I couldn't... I came to that person and said that even if we were in wheelchairs, we were someone because we were smarter than them.
What was his reaction?
And his reaction was just, he just looked at me and just walked away.
But at least he stopped. Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he stopped only because he saw my friend walking up to me. And that's why he stopped.
Yeah. Glenn, you mentioned a moment ago that, you know, these people are out everywhere. They have jobs. They commute on public transit. And I happened to see an article on your website that's, I think it was a repost from the Huffington Post, mm-hmm. About, corporate America is waking up to the benefits of employees with autism and developmental disabilities. And the ARC is mentioned in the article, and that there's lots working in the tech sector and other industries here. There's some encouraging signs here. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, San Francisco, in its boom right now, there have been some wonderful, wonderful companies that have really stepped up and really embraced the concept of diversity in their workplace. And partnering with the ARC, many companies like a Zendesk, like a Twitter, other sector companies like Deloitte or Salesforce have really stepped up and created opportunities for these guys to develop careers within companies which were beyond their grasp before. And, you know, we want individuals like Gabby to be a thriving taxpayer, a member of our community. And the corporate community right now in San Francisco is really embracing this concept of a diversified workforce, letting us work with them. We work with them to adapt jobs. But in the end of the day, we want people to get a great employee, and we think the individuals that come to the ARC make great, great employees.
It sounds like from what I read in this article, I didn't read the whole thing, but there are perhaps some, you know, everyone has their special skills and talents that they bring.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, if there are particular things that make a person more detail-oriented, for example.
There are some people who are, you know, definitely more detail-oriented or more more attuned to, you know, quality control and the tech sector. But I think that the thing that makes an ARC, an employee or somebody who's supported by the ARC stand out is that they are people who are so committed to their jobs. I think you could ask any one of the CEOs that we work with. You're talking about people who rarely miss a day of work, who really take pride in their work, and who are really part of what I call the moral fabric of the company. And I think most of the employees at, you know, pick any one of these companies with thousands of people know these individuals, and they're a big part of the workforce.
And is it partly because they're grateful that someone has given them a chance, so there's some loyalty. There's a loyalty factor there. It's not just any old job that anybody feels they could, you know, they could walk into or feel entitled to, perhaps.
Right. And we're not looking for charity. We're actually looking for companies that have an open mind about hiring a diversified workforce, right? And there are many leaders in town who really have embraced that, like a Mark Benioff, you know, at Salesforce. I think Salesforce has hired 22 employees of the ARC. And it's just an amazing thing that these folks, you know, years ago we were talking about sheltered workshops where people were stuffing soap in a box, and here somebody can have a real career at Salesforce. That's a big deal, and that's what's going to keep Sanford, the soul in San Francisco, is doing more of this.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. You just heard from Dr. Glenn Mottola, CEO of the ARC San Francisco, a learning center for adults with developmental disabilities in San Francisco, Marin, and San Mateo counties. Gabby Castro is also here, a client of the ARC and an ARC ally peer leader, and Lance Scott, an instructor of anti-bullying and other classes at the ARC. We're talking about the ARC's anti-bullying campaign, a joint effort with LGBT leaders. You can learn more on the ARC's website, thearcsf.org. Tell us about your anti-bullying video. That's part of this campaign you're doing right now, right? And I notice that Bevan Dufty is in it, a few other, and actually, Lance, you're in it, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And Gabby, are you in it, too?
Yes.
Yes, you are. So you're radio and video star now. So tell us about how did this video, you know, what's the genesis behind it, and tell us a little bit about it itself. I think there's even a scene on a bus in there, isn't there?
We really wanted to show the different varieties of people who can experience being bullied. And Bevan Dufty is great. He always comes out and supports us. So the video contains a number of different faces, right? And it really shows the variety of people who have experienced being bullied, whether it be staff, whether it be the individuals who come to the ARC. And we just thought it was a real impactful way to visually show that it can happen to any one of us.
Mm-hmm. Lance, can you share, or maybe Gabby, maybe the two of you can, because you went through these classes in 2013 and have taken some more training since then. You sort of gave some overall idea of what a scenario would be like. Can you give us a concrete one that you've used in one of your classes, you know, a bullying scenario and the components and the people and how you diffuse that? And is there role playing involved? How does that work?
Well, one powerful practice that we take a piece of paper and we write down all the different words we were called, all mm-hmm. the horrible words. So faggot and worthless and ugly and fat. This is after we've all told our stories.
Okay.
And then we take that piece of paper and we crinkle it up and we throw it in the trash can. And then we get a new piece of paper and we write why we think we're wonderful. So artistic and smart and funny and gorgeous smile and that kind of thing. And that's something that we keep. So that's one thing we do. And then we also do another exercise actually before, where we take a piece of paper with either a man or a woman on it. We ball it up into a big, tight wad. And then participants are asked to take that wad and make it smooth and clean and try to make it like it was before. And that exercise is to help us understand that the paper will never be the same, that crinkling, those wrinkles are always going to be there. We can do our best to smooth it down, but it's an illustration of what the effects of bullying...
The effects that last.
They last forever.
Right.
And as somebody who's bullied, I totally get that. And when you think about the effects that bullying has on anxiety and stress and physical ailments and self-esteem, it's all very true and very real.
Gabby, are there things you can remember from either these classes that you've taken or your experiences since becoming an ally that might help people understand this a little more?
Well, what I've learned from taking these classes are that not only does it make you feel good to stand up for others and yourself, but it teaches you a lesson in life to just stand up for others. If it doesn't matter if you're a different race, different color, different nationality, but it has taught me to treat everyone else with respect. If I want people to respect me, then I should teach others to respect each other. And that's what I've learned from these classes.
Great. Anything else you folks want to say in closing? We're getting a little close to the end.
Yeah, people often ask how they can support or how can they help. And absolutely go to our website, thearcsf.org, or you can go directly to thearcantibullying.org and donate. You can also volunteer with us. And corporations out there that want to increase awareness within their own company, they can find a great employee at the ARC San Francisco.
And I think I mentioned at the beginning that this part of this campaign you're in right now is to raise $30,000 to fund the next series of classes. The next series of classes. Is that like for a year or what? You know,
it lasts over a 3 to 4 month period of time, and we have a couple of sections of it, if you would, that happen during the year. And so we'll be starting a new section in the fall. And so we're looking forward to funding that and getting that off the ground, and probably have about 14 people in that.
Okay. One last little thing I want to ask you. There's something you do every other year called the Cirque de l'Arc.
Cirque de l'Arc is a wonderful, one-of-a-kind fundraiser here in the city that is some combination of a drag show and a circus, and it stars the wonderful Kitty Glamour, who's our operations director, and she's got a great reach into the community, and she pulls in some wonderful talent, and that's one of our biggest fundraisers. So next May.
So every other May. Not this time, but next time. We can look forward to that.
I also want to add that a lot of our clients are very talented and also perform in Cirque.
Great.
Yeah. We have one particular client, Paul, who's an amazing drag queen. He's a man with Down syndrome.
Okay.
And can outsing any of the drag queens out there.
Okay. Oh, really? Not just lip syncing. He actually sings. All right.
He lip syncs, just as good as all the other drag queens, yeah.
Well, some do actually sing, and that's fantastic. Anyway, thank you so much. More information at ARC, TheARCSF. Oh, and go ahead.
Sure, it's at TheARCSF.org or ARCantibullying.org.
Specifically, and that's where folks can see the video if they want to.
That's ARC correct.
ARCantibullying.org. Thanks very much. You've been listening to Out in the Bay. My guests have been Glenn Motola, CEO of the ARC San Francisco, a learning center for adults with developmental disabilities. Gabby Castro, a client of the ARC and an ARC ally peer leader. And Lance Scott, an instructor of anti-bullying and other classes at the ARC. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. Heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on KALW.org worldwide and at 91.7 FM in the Bay Area. Anytime you want to on our website, outinthebay.org, where you can find a year's worth of archives and best of page with a dozen of our favorites. Sign up for free weekly podcasts and take us with you on your mobile device by signing up for Stitcher. It's all free. We bring in conversations you aren't likely to hear elsewhere because we're able to have on guests that most mainstream programs can't or just don't. We love Terry Gross, but, you know, I don't know if she's done this. Has she?
I don't think so.
Well, it's about time.
We'd love to.
Okay. And it's all on our website, outinthebay.org. So please consider a tax-deductible contribution at our website. We thank KALW for studio use and airtime. And this week's engineer, Kevin Vance. If your business or nonprofit would like to help support Out in the Bay and receive on-air thanks heard by our thousands of listeners weekly, please see the sponsors page on our website, outinthebay.org. Phone me at the number you'll find there, or just send an email to eric@outinthebay.com. We'd love to hear from you, so write to us, marilyn@outinthebay.com and eric@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.